Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. My name is Jeff. For those of you who do not know who I am the host for this show, and I usually do movie reviews. I do interviews with people who are in different professions, different areas of study, and sometimes I do poetry, maybe a little bit of movie scripts and all those types of stuff. The concept of my show is quite flexible in terms of what I do and what kind of content I give out in my show. So anyone who would like to be part of a live radio show, please hit me up and we can arrange a time and have an opportunity for you to come on air with me and have a very, very fun time discussing whatever it is you want to discuss. Today's weather is not the best. I believe this week's going to be a little bit yucky in terms of the weather. It's going to be a bit rainy and cold, but you know what? That's Vancouver, right? So let's get our coats on and our umbrellas ready and just get through this. Vitz, this is our fourth week, I believe, and I hope everything is going well for everyone. I hope that the courses that you guys chose to take are interesting and not too difficult, so then you can kind of breeze past it with a positive mindset. I know that most of my courses are quite interesting, so I'm thankful for that. Today we have Randy again on the show, so give it up for Randy, because we are going to be discussing another movie, and I think this discussion is also going to be very interesting. Randy, if you can hear me, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, for sure. Hello, I'm Randy. You might recognize me from a week ago. I am the host of Dog Ear Radio Book Club at CITR. And a recent graduate of UBC. And now another guest on Jeff's show.
Yes. I actually wanted to ask you, do you now pre-record your shows in Alberta and then send it to CITR?
I do, yeah. So all my episodes are now pre-recorded, which has been awesome. I've been interviewing a lot of bookstagrammers, and I'm able to interview bookstagrammers from all over. So I've interviewed some from East Canada, Eastern Canada, and then some from the U.S. So it's been really cool. So it's sort of transitioned to be like a podcast sort of, that it's all pre-recorded, but I still try to keep it pretty natural so I don't do much editing, so it's able to feel like an authentic conversation still.
Do you miss doing your show live on the station, in the station?
I do. I miss it so much. There's something just so fun about getting to look at your guests face-to-face. And obviously being in the studio is so nice. Like, the sound equipment is so nice compared to trying it. Like, finding a good space in my home to record makes it a lot harder.
Yeah, that's totally true. How's the weather there?
It's getting windy. Yeah, it's definitely, so Southern Alberta gets a lot of sunshine, but we also get a lot of wind. So we're getting into the sunshine wind, which means it's dry here. So my skin is really feeling it. It's kind of been pampered the last 5 years in Vancouver, and it's kind of like, what the heck are you doing to me now? So I had to invest in some good lotion again. So,
yeah, no, Vancouver is now turning into Vancouver because it's raining a bit. It's a bit humid now, yeah. Cold and windy. So we're getting into that Vancouver weather.
Yeah, summer is definitely in the past.
Yes, yeah. I believe the last day of summer was last Friday or something like that. It was after that.
Yeah, the 20th.
Yeah, after that it was just, now it's like fall and probably close to winter now.
Yeah.
All right. So for today's episode, we are going to be discussing the movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith, starring Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Do you want to give a quick rundown or a summary about the movie?
Sure, I can do my best. Obviously, full spoilers for the plot of the movie, but I don't think it really affects it.
Yeah.
I rewatch this movie on like a yearly basis. So, yeah. So, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So they are two spies who married each other without knowing that they're spies. So the movie starts out and they're together, but their relationship, you can tell it's kind of getting strained. We get some scenes of them going to marriage counseling sessions, kind of interwoven with their life currently. And we see them each go on missions separately, and they have no idea until on one of their missions, they encounter each other, and they each end up sabotaging their mission, each other's mission. So then once they identify that it's each other, then their companies basically say, like, you have to kill your spouse. So they each sort of set out to take down the other one. And it doesn't really end up going as planned because obviously they've been married. So as much as they don't want to admit they're in love, they are. And so they end up sort of coming together. And then the twist of the movie we find out is actually the companies that they each worked for as spies worked together to try to get them to kill one another because they no longer wanted these two rival spies to be married. So they end up having to go against both of their companies to survive. And yeah, that's like a pretty basic rundown, but that's sort of the plot of the movie.
Yeah, no, that was a great rundown of the movie. You know, because as you mentioned, you said you watch this on a yearly basis. This was my first time watching the movie. And you know what? I'm just going to start off and say it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. And there's a lot of things that I want to mention, but I want to first ask you, what was something in the movie that you liked about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think part of the reason why, obviously, this movie, I watch it so often, it's kind of a nostalgia thing. Like, I could admit it's not, like, a great movie in a lot of ways. But I kind of watched it at a point in my life where it just sort of stuck. I went through a phase when I was, like, oh, boy, like, 12, 13, 14. I was obsessed with Angelina Jolie.
Okay.
I wrote a speech on her for her speech competition. I was like, the Tomb Raider movies are actually my favorite. So this movie sort of came about. I watched it in this period of my life where I really was like in love with her, which, you know, should have been a great clue that I was gay, but of course it wasn't. But anyways, I think that it kind of sticks with me for that. Another reason why it sticks with me is I've always been a fan of like the enemies to lovers trope in fantasy novels, romance novels, like any sort of fiction work. And so I think, you know, at the age I was at where I loved romance movies and Angelina Jolie, this movie sort of provided me with that as well, that it's quite a good, it has some good like scenes of like enemies to lovers. In this case, I guess more like lovers to enemies to lovers. But yeah, I think I was attracted in the movie to the tension that it delivered, the drama it delivered. So that's kind of, I think, but yeah, I think for like me rewatching it now, it's mostly that nostalgia that I have for it from remembering what it was like to watch it during that period in my life.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. There are a couple movies that I specifically enjoy watching again on like a yearly basis just because it does give that feeling of nostalgia. And it kind of reminds you of what like where you were at when you were first watching that movie, and it gives you a chance to go back to all those, you know, old times in the past. This movie was, I think I'd have to say, one of the first movies where I kind of acknowledged Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. It just seems like they're always in some kind of movie, and so I never really, you know, went out of my way to watch a movie and say like, oh, you know, Brad Pitt's going to be on it or Angelina Jolie is going to be on it, so I'm just going to go ahead and watch it. It was none of that. But this movie, mm-hmm. I went in thinking, okay, it's Angelina and Jolie and Brad Pitt, you know, and they're these they're like massive movie stars. And so there's obviously this expectation that I was going into when I was first watching the movie, which probably affected a little bit of how much I enjoyed and what I noticed while I was watching the movie. Mm-hmm. They obviously have this very charismatic and strong and like sexy image that they portray in movies and, you know, as people. And so that kind of didn't. So what I'm trying to say is all those like dramatic action scenes and those explosions and the like the violence and all that, that didn't really surprise me as much because I kind of knew that these actors were meant to do that kind of stuff, if that makes sense.
Right.
So I did try to focus a lot on the romance and their mm-hmm. characters in the movie, but it seems like the central idea of the movie was all that, like, those effects, those like action, you know, that all that, you know, like the guns and those very I feel like the word violence is just a bit too harsh. It's more of like that adrenaline rush was kind of given to the audience by, you know, putting in those kinds of scenes. And so I didn't get that butterfly in my stomach, I guess you can say, while I'm watching rom-coms in general, because they were just the way that they expressed their love and the way that the romance was built up was very like hardcore, I guess. It's not something that I was expecting. Did you feel that way as well?
I would say no, because this sort of came, I was actually watching a super interesting TikTok about this today. So this is going to get a little off topic, but I promise it's related. So the TikToker was talking about how the big boom in the romance plotline of YA novels in fantasy and science fiction. So they're specifically kind of talking about the Hunger Games. And then I think Divergent was sort of like, it was after Hunger Games around that time. I love those books. I read Hunger Games. I read Divergent. I watched the movies. And I was very much, because I was a romance girly in junior high and high school, but I really liked the adventure and the action plot points. I wanted that combination. So I really love books like that offered that combination of like an adventure, action, but a romance. And which is like super prevalent in like YA fantasy at a time when I was reading YA fantasy. So as like in junior high and high school. So I think for me, this movie, it didn't like neither plot really detracted for me because I kind of viewed it through that lens that it was like a spy action movie, but with a romance plot. So I kind of see them as like working relatively well together. I don't like, this is one of those movies where I don't like get bored at any of the parts. So like if they are having an action scene, I'm not like, we'll get to the romance. And if they're having a romance scene, I'm not like, we'll get to the action. But I think again, that's because of like the time when I watched it, I went in kind of knowing that that's what it was. It was sort of like a both movie. So, you obviously have like this overarching action plot line, a lot of action scenes, a lot of fighting scenes that you would typically find in a spy movie, right? But then you also have these like moments of their relationship. So you get like the scenes when they meet initially, and then you get like the scenes where they're together, and then, you know, when they're fighting each other. But I can definitely agree with you that it doesn't play out like you would imagine a romance to. Like, it doesn't have those butterfly moments. It doesn't actually really have, like, romantic moments, quote-unquote. So I can definitely see how, like, if you're sort of have that expectation of the romance for it, it doesn't really deliver on that because it is sort of like a much darker view of a relationship, right? Like these are two, like, I guess, I don't know if you call them international spies, but they're two spies who, you know, kill people for a living. So their relationship is quite a bit darker than like a typical romance movie would sort of portray a relationship.
Yeah, no, definitely. And also, what I realized was that the tension that was building up throughout the movie never kind of declined. And so I didn't really see much of, the characters showing their vulnerability. Like, they didn't have a position where they were kind of vulnerable and they let their guards down, because it started on as them not knowing who they were. And so they were kind of living life. Then once they discovered each other, they were trying to kill each other. And then once they were, you know, there was this one scene when they were in the car and they were discussing, you know, oh, Angelina Jolie was an orphan, her parents died. And then Brad Pitt was like, oh yeah, we need to redo all the conversations that we did. And so all that banter going on during a gunfight, and then Angelina Jolie's like, you know, just kill the people behind us, all that stuff. Once that ends, they have another fight right after that, right? And so I wish there was a scene where they sat down after they basically like beat each other up the next morning. They were drinking an orange juice with a broken glass. I think that was very funny. And then they sat down and they were talking, you know, more of those moments where they were just connecting with each other, you know, as the characters were kind of, you know, showing who they actually were as a person, would have been a bit better. I think I wish they elaborated more on their past, so then I can understand who they are right now. And, you know, it kind of makes more sense to see who they are as a character and then how they changed after realizing that they were living with someone that was working right on the opposite end. And so those parts of the movie was something that I wished appeared a bit more, just so I can, you know, learn more about the character. Because in terms of character development, I didn't see that much of it. They didn't really do much. They just fought a lot. And then obviously they did both realize that they loved each other. And so that was clearly shown. But I think in terms of like who they are as a character and how them realizing who they are changed them as an individual didn't really show much. But then again, I personally don't watch spy romance movies, like action romance movies. And so this type of way where they show the characters and how the story goes along is probably the way it should go along in terms of like the genre itself. And so I probably have some like biased opinions on how romance movies should go on, but that's how I approached watching the movie. Were there any specific things in the movie or in movies that are spy romance or action romance movies that you love about?
That's a really good question. So for this movie specifically, I quite like those scenes, like the one that you were describing in the van where someone just blew up their house and now they're escaped and they're in a car chase with these other cars. And initially, Brad Pitt is driving, or John is driving, and then Jane is essentially criticizing his driving and being like, just let me, I'll do it better. And so now John is the one shooting at the cars in the car chase. And there's this scene where he's shooting at the cars and then Jane goes, they're bulletproof. And then he immediately shut the doors and turned around and says, they're bulletproof. Obviously I'm not explaining it very well, but I think that's kind of like, it's quite a funny scene because you can see just like her exasperation with him. And then later on in that same scene, then they're, she's kind of like got the car lined up, the perfect shot to take out these cars, and John isn't taking it. So she gets frustrated. She just does this cool like driving maneuver so that she's able to shoot out these cars. And then John sort of just silently gets up to the front of the van and just like looks at her being like, what the heck was that? I think for me, it's like cool because like something about like the combination of like combining action and romance, I think you can get like really cool woman characters, like, that are, like, can be, like, mysterious. And, that's one of the things I like about this movie, is that I totally agree with you that, like, there's not a lot of vulnerability shown. But basically, all of the vulnerability shown is by John. It's not by Jane.
Yeah.
And I think, like, that's kind of entertaining, because we're sort of used to this trope in romance media that, like, the man will be, like, evasive and, like, you know, hide their emotions and, like, all this stuff. So it's kind of cool to see, like, this, you know, woman character that sort of does the same type of thing. Because I just say it leads to, like, some funny moments. And then I think for me, again, another scene that sticks with me is the scene that I was talking about in the episode that I was on last week, where Jane has believed that she's killed John. So she's sort of, you know, emotionally at this restaurant where they got engaged, and decides to, oh, and then John shows up and he's alive. So then they go back to the house. They have this, like, all out gunfight, and then they start hand to hand combat. And then eventually it leads to them very, like, intensely making out. And then the screen kind of fades black, and then we see them the next morning. I think this scene sticks with me for a lot of reasons. I think it's shot really interestingly. I think it does a great job of building tension, and then kind of getting that, like, release of tension. So it feels, like, very interesting to watch. I think one of the ways that they do that is by through the music. I think the music throughout this scene is really cool. So initially, when they're having the gunfight throughout the house, they play sort of like a typical action music. I don't really know how to describe it, but it's just like kind of like upbeat, you know, like it's building tension.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they start to start hand-to-hand combat, they play the song Express Yourself. And it's sort of this like upbeat kind of like pop funk. I don't really know how you categorize this song, but I think a lot of people know it. And so it's sort of like, it kind of brings this like liveliness to the scene.
Yeah.
And then in the hand-to-hand combat, there's this part where they both reach for a gun and point at each other. And then the music abruptly shuts off. And then Jane is like, well, do it. Like, shoot, do it. And then John's like, I can't. I don't want to. And then he very dramatically kisses her, and then the song starts playing from the initial scene of when they meet.
Yeah.
So I think like there's a lot of very interesting aspects to this scene. I am obviously not like a film major. I wouldn't even consider myself like a film buff. I just like watch movies, and if I like them, I like them, and if I don't, I don't. But yeah, I think this scene has always just kind of like stuck with me. But yeah, as to your question about like why so much like combination of like romance and action, like I said, I think it can lead to like some really interesting characters, specifically women characters. Just like, I think it's cool to like reimagine them in like stereotypical, portrayed as male roles, right? Like typically when we think of like a spy narrative, we think of James Bond. So he's this international spy and he falls for this woman who always has to tragically die. But very rarely is she a spy. She's either just like a very beautiful person, a model, or honestly, half the time in James Bond, I don't even know what she's supposed to be. So they're just not really like fleshed out. So I think when we have like a movie like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, where they're on equal footing, and if not like, Jane is actually the better spy. That's a conversation we get like later in the movie, that she's actually had more missions and more kills than John. And John is kind of a little like hurt by that. Like he's sort of just like, oh, I can't believe that. And so, I think it can just deliver a relatively cool dynamic for a relationship in a film. Anyways, that was quite a long-winded answer, but...
No, that's fine. No, you actually pointed out a couple good points, but if I were to go back to the one you just said, how Brad Pitt was kind of hurt to hear how many kills Jolie or Jane accomplished during her career, because he said he was in the high 50s, low 60s, and then Angelina Jolie said 312 or something. And that was just so funny, because not only did she do more kills, which, you know, usually the male characters are more experienced, right? But just the gap of it, because she did, what, like three times? No, more. Like five times.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's kind of funny, because Brad Pitt was genuinely shocked of how many kills she had. And I love the way you pointed out the music, because I definitely caught, you know, briefly about, you know, what kind of music they used, when they paused and when they resumed it. And I think that's one of the interesting things about knowing these kinds of things when you're watching a movie, because then you catch those small details. And I actually really, really love when there's dramatic music or just any kind of music blasted very loud during an action scene, to the point where you can't really hear anything else but the music. But once the scene where Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie were pointing the guns at each other and the music stopped, the crackling in the background and the fire and, you know, like other just natural materials sounding in the background, I love that. I love it when the music stops and then you could hear the gun kind of like clickling, clackling, and, you know, them like breathing. You could hear all that sort of stuff. It really builds the tension from there for me. And then you could kind of calm down from all that action and all that drama that they were going through and kind of relax and just see how that tension builds up. So those kind of things were very, very well shown in the movie. And that's actually one of the best things about this movie. And although I didn't catch too much of the romance, I think it's because I just have different standards on how romance should be shown in movies and how I often viewed romance. And so, you know, definitely in these kinds of genres, the romance is a bit differently portrayed, but I just couldn't really catch it because I don't really watch many of these kinds of movies. But the comedy was great. I love the way they showed it. Because they're both serious characters and they do show off that hardcore vibe, to give out that, you know, those itty bits of comedy where they are kind of a little bit goofy. And, you know, again, the broken glass, drinking it out of that was very funny to me. I think it's almost like, oh yeah, that's how these people roll. You know, they don't care if they get a cut on their lip. They're just going to drink it right off of that. And so those aspects of the movie I really loved. There were quite a bit of it, and so, you know, the way they showed that part of the movie was great. But the characters itself were kind of static in a sense. I know I'm mentioning this again, but they were kind of static, and so because of that, I was definitely entertained throughout the movie. Like, you were, there's no scenes where I was bored at all. Once you think it's getting bored, like the scene where you mentioned Angelina Jolie kind of crying in the restaurant because she thought she killed Brad Pitt, and then he shows up pouring the wine.
Yeah.
That just immediately makes it, you know, interesting. And then you get your eyes up again and you start focusing. That was great. But it was kind of going like, climax and then down back to climax, and it's just like a continuous like pattern of that. So in terms of entertainment, it was great. There's not much of a like a plateau throughout the movie. It's just like continuous like action and then scene, action, scene. And so I guess if you view it that way, the movie was very, very great, very entertaining, and very comedic too. I just really love that part too. Was there anything in the movie that you think would have been better if it was added, or maybe something that should have not been showed in the movie?
Gosh. That's a super good question. I honestly don't know if I've like thought about like what this movie could like use to be changed, because I feel like if I were to do that, I would just take the general idea of this and I would like fully change it. Like, I would just remake this movie and try to like make it like a bit more timely. Like this movie came out in 2013, so I think you could reimagine this kind of same plot line of having like two rival spies married together without knowing it. Because I think it offers like that general plot offers like a very interesting, I don't know, like story, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as far as like adding, I feel like I would have felt pretty good if John's very annoying coworker died. I can't think of the actor's name right now, but basically every role he plays is just like someone I want to punch in the face.
Yeah.
Which I think is like in this movie, in this case, like that's what his intention is. Like he's supposed to be funny, but he's not actually funny. Like he's just quite dumb throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
So I can sort of like respect that, but I also would have been okay. But I like how he just kind of like disappeared at the end. And yeah, as far as like what I would change, I truly don't know if I have anything that comes like to mind that I would change. Cause I think it's sort of like, I don't know. To me, it's just like a good example of like at the time, like it's a good example of their careers at the time. Like, you know, their relationship. I can't remember if they were married when this movie came out.
Are you thinking of this as like them as an individual, like real life people?
No, like not entirely, but I feel like it's also hard for me to like separate them because I watched this at such like a pivotal point in my like admiration for Angelina Jolie, which I just want to say to the listeners, I do not have anymore. I am clearly aware of all of her flaws. I do not worship celebrities anymore, but I was a teenager, so just teenage Randy alone.
Yeah, no,
and,
I think we all do.
You know, they did okay. They came out okay in the end. but yeah, I think that is kind of the case, though. Like, my brain can't fully, like, disassociate this movie from Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie as a people, as a couple, you know, as like actors, sort of like, you know, outside of this movie. I don't know if that makes sense. So I feel like, yeah, it is kind of hard for my brain to like imagine changing it because it's sort of like a time capsule of the time, if that makes sense.
No, that makes total sense. I guess here's a bit of an easier question. Do you think this movie would have been good if it was like a mini series or like a show?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would have been good. One thing I will say is like, I'm racking my brain for other examples of this. I can't think of one off the top of my head, and I'm sure there is other examples of like a plot like this, like two rival spies. But the other one I can think of is like when the man is the spy and then the wife finds out about it. Like that's been done quite a lot. Like there's the famous movie True Lies with, I think it was Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then I can't remember who played the wife in it. And then there's the movie, The Killers with Katherine Heigl and Ashton Kutcher, which boo Ashton Kutcher, but the movie is kind of funny. And yeah, so I think this was sort of kind of a diversion from that. And I know they have remade True Lies into a TV show. And yeah, so I think like I said, I feel like this is just a cool like plot idea. So I think it would be like interesting to create kind of like you could create like a pretty good mini series with this plot line, and you could have just like, I think if you would have done that, you would have been able to like draw out more of the relationship, like flesh out a bit more of that, and like get more like basically have more focus on it, right? This movie isn't overly long, which is another thing I like about it. But that just means that there's not, like you were saying, Jeff, like there's not really moments for like that vulnerability, and getting kind of like that focus on the romance. So yeah, I definitely, if they did, like if it was more of a miniseries, you would get more moments to focus on that.
Yeah. I guess we can discuss the the actors and the actresses a bit, and then we can kind of move on from this movie. But like you said, this movie for you was, you know, nostalgic, and so it was kind of at the right moment at the right time. It kind of would have worked back then. Do you think that, you know, knowing the actors and actresses, you know, persona outside of their, you know, character or their career, you know, like knowing the personal side of the actors and actresses is a good thing in terms of watching their movies or shows, or, you know, knowing a little bit about it kind of does benefit or doesn't at all?
Do you mean in general or just like?
Yeah, just in general.
Oh, in general. In general, I'm very like against knowing a lot about the actors, because I'm definitely someone who, like, if I see an actor play a role of a character I don't like, then I will constantly just see them as a character and I won't be able to watch other things with them in it. I'm trying to think of the example. Well, I mean, I already said, like, the guy who plays, like, John's coworker in this film.
Yeah.
He's also the guy from Wedding Crashers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's part, like, he's always just played that kind of, like, douchebag character.
Yeah.
So I was never going to like his characters. but now I sort of just associate that character with him as a person, and I just think he's a bad person, even though I know absolutely nothing about him. Yeah, so I would say, like, by and far, I try to, like, avoid knowing anything. And I also, like, it breaches into, like, a lot of things. Like, I'm very against, like, the invasion of privacy we have of celebrity culture, and, like, how kind of dangerous celebrity culture has become to both the public and celebrity. And so, like, I'm very against, like, tabloids, things like that. Like, I don't like that kind of culture that we fostered. So I'm quite against really knowing people. And then with that, you know, because I don't know these people, I never ever make like, statements of either if they're like good or bad, unless obviously we know things come out. Like, you know, when I mentioned that thing about Ashton Kutcher, like we do know what's coming out right now surrounding, like a past actor from the 70s show. I won't get it too into it, but you know, when we do find things like that out that are like told to us as a public, I think it's important to take that into mind just as far as like supporting that work. But then that can also get like a little bit more tricky, because you can recognize there's a lot of other people who work in Hollywood and work on these shows and TV shows and stuff that do pour a lot into it. And I think I'm getting a little off track, so I'm just going to reroute to get back onto it. But yeah, to like answer your question directly, by and far, I would say I don't really know much about actors. I don't really like follow them on social media. I don't engage with like drama and gossip about them. So what I like to go into a movie to see the story, to see the actors play a role and sort of just enjoy how that plays out in front of me on the screen. Anyways, I hope that answered, and I'm very curious to hear what you think.
I actually agree with you. I do think that the more I know about an actress or an actor, the more I will carry that into me while I'm watching a film when they're in it. And so sometimes it does work in their favor, but sometimes it doesn't. And so that permanently gives like no room to like that character because I know them in their personal life. And it's so weird because like you said, you never really know who these people are. And so just from the things that you see on social media or what you read might not always be true. But even if it is or not, doesn't really matter, because that automatically gives you like that foundation of who they are, and then you go into a movie watching, you know, with that thing in your head. And so I feel like I would rather not know. You know, there are some things that you just don't want to know instead of knowing everything. That's something that I recently kind of figured out about myself. It's like I thought I wanted to know everything that goes on in this world, but you know what? Some things are just left alone and just not, you know, It's just not worth knowing about. And so, you know, there are both pros and cons, but if I had to choose, I definitely would probably not want to know about their personal life, especially if it's something very, very personal and intimate. I probably just wouldn't want to know at all. But, you know, but then again, if an actor plays a very repetitive role, that also plays into how you view them. Like if someone's always in an action movie and they're in a romance now, it's like, yo, like, are they sure they can, you know, are you sure you can do this? And so you put them on like a higher expectation when you're watching it. So I guess it doesn't really matter. You know, I feel like I'm contradicting myself while I'm saying it, but because then that bias would also build up on how many times they show up in a certain genre or a certain movie or even with a certain actor, right? And so that also plays into effect on how you watch the movie. But, you know, overall, it's there's pros and cons, you know, but most of the time, not knowing would kind of give you an unbiased opinion about the movie, you know, about the character and how you just view the whole storyline. But you know what? This was a very, very interesting conversation. I guess we could kind of move on to, you know, what goes on in the real world, I guess you can say. September is almost ending and October is going to hit soon. I don't know if I asked this question, but will you be doing anything for Halloween?
You did not ask me that. And, well, okay. So first I want to correct myself. I just looked it up and this movie came out, Mr. and Mrs. Smith came out in 2005, but I just want to offer that as a correction because I feel like I said it came out in 2013. I have no idea why I thought that.
That's okay.
Just to the listeners, I just want to correct myself.
Yeah.
But back to your question, as far as Halloween, you know, I really don't know. I'm at a point in my life where my plans happen quite spontaneously because when you're in the midst of looking for work, it's sort of hard to make like concrete plans because you don't know when you might get a job, like when I'd be moving or, you know, when things might fall into place. So I currently don't have any plans. But I do like to, you know, imagine that I'll be doing something. And, you know, I like to imagine my Halloween costume because that's always fun. But
are there
you?
Any, for me, I also don't have that many plans. I'm almost like, this is actually my busiest semester. So I'm quite overwhelmed with just school itself. And then I have a part-time job and then all sorts of other things going on. So, but you know what? I am always excited for Halloween, not because I'm doing anything, but because I get to see so many cool costumes. Like some people just go crazy and it's really, really interesting. And I also love looking at the decorations and houses just like they do in Christmas. It's very cool how creative people get. And so in that way, I'm excited, but personally, I'm probably not going to be doing too much. Like you said, because it is quite difficult for you probably to plan something because you never know what it's going to come up, you know, the next day or in a couple hours or next week. Would you say that you're more busier than you were when you were in university, or it's kind of similar, or you're probably more busy now?
I would say like I'm less busy because I obviously have quite a lot of control of my own schedule. So I'm able to like commit to doing a lot of reading and sort of enjoying things that I maybe hadn't gotten to while I was in university. And I think it's so different. Like when you're in university, your schedule of life can be so like hectic without you even knowing it. And so it's sort of like the one way I want to phrase it is like, I think my life is busy in a different way, because I think when you get out of school, you sort of like fall out of that routine you've like got yourself into, and so you kind of get like a new normal. So for my new normal, I'm pretty busy. Like I fill all of my time, like, you know, I'm productive during my days. But when I look back at like what I used to accomplish during like one day when I was in university, it's quite a lot more. But it was also just like it's quite a different lifestyle. And so, yeah, that's kind of, again, like a long-winded answer to say that it just kind of shifts, like, depending on where at, like, if you're working. And I've even found that, like, in the past when I've worked full-time versus part-time, like, when I wasn't in school, it's quite a different life, right? Like, you will basically create your busyness, right? If you are someone who's, like, driven by, like, passions and hobbies and things like that.
Yeah, no, you described it in a very good way. You're busy, but in a different way. That's probably the best explanation anyone can give. Do you think it was a difficult transition from, you know, going to school almost every single day for the most part of your life, and then now you're not? So then was that kind of a shock to you, or was that kind of just like, just feels like, you know, like a summer break or something like that?
Oh, it's definitely been a shock. I think I'm still in shock, even though it's almost October. I fully can't believe that I'm not going back to school. It feels quite unbelievable. It feels a little wild. I did take a gap year after I graduated high school, but that gap year was taken for a lot of personal reasons. So it wasn't necessarily like what we typically imagine, like, oh, like I went traveling and stuff. That's not what my year looked like. So it has definitely felt like quite a big transition to, like, you know, exit out of university and be like, oh, like, you know, you're in the big adult world now. So it I would say it's been quite a shock for me.
Yeah, I guess this is the last question, but for me at least, when I went to high school, I thought I was pretty old. I thought I kind of, now I'm in the real world, you know? And then once I graduated and I went to university, I'm like, okay, this is now the real world. You know, university is a different level than high school, you know? And then now I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm still a kid. I feel like if I graduate and start looking for jobs, that's when I'm going to be an adult. Do you feel that as well? Do you feel like, I think I'm in the real world now, where, you know, I'm, you know, now beginning?
Okay. So I think I have so many thoughts on what you just said. But I think to say it very concisely, I think you're in the real world your whole life, but you experience that world differently based on how much you've grown. So like when you're 18, you experience life as an 18-year-old. When you're 22, you experience life as a 22-year-old. And I'm a big advocate of personal growth throughout your life. So I strive to grow and learn every day of my life, and to see that growth play out every year of my life, that's what I, you know, that's what I look forward to. So I think, like, I agree. I mean, I definitely felt very mature and old when I graduated high school. And then when I went to university, I realized, like, wow, like, I'm pretty young now, like, living away from home. And then sort of, but you learn a lot through that. Like, you learn a lot of life skills that you'll never lose, right? You learn them and then they stay with you. And I think the growth just keeps happening. And I think one big thing about university is, like, it's very easy to see that growth because it is such, like, a fast 4 years. You know, like, you're going through so many different experiences, you're meeting so many people, you're doing so many different things, you're learning so much within that 4 years or 5 years or 6 years, it doesn't matter how long it takes you to do your degree. You know, the same experiences take place. So I think, like, I'm not a big advocate of being like, you know, what is an adult? Like, you know, there's no magical age that you get to where you're like, oh, I have my whole life figured out, I know everything about the world.
Yeah.
And I'm learning that as someone who's growing up and talking to, like, my dad, realizing how much, like, a lot of these adults that we looked up to, yeah, they actually don't know everything about the world, which is okay. So anyways, that's kind of what I would answer, how I would answer that question, is that I think, you know, we're all living in the real world. You're all living in the adult world. but we're just experiencing it to our best of our abilities at our age with our growth and our experience. And, you know, every year that you get, just think of all the new knowledge you gain, the experiences you have, and you just get better and better.
Yeah, no, that's a wonderful way to put it. We are all in the real world, but just different experiences and how we take into it. That's great, actually. For sure. That actually changed my mindset, too. Yeah. But yeah, no, you mentioned, you know, the university life does go by quite fast. You know, I can't believe I finished 2 years already, and we're almost halfway into the semester. It's crazy. It feels like time's getting faster and faster. You know, the pressure's building up a little bit. You know, you're trying to think about what you're going to do outside. But I'm sure you know this, but it's very important to kind of, you know, chill, I guess, a bit and enjoy what's right in front of you and not get caught up
for sure
in the things that's going to be in the future. Always a pleasure to have you on my show. Always very, very fun. Thank you so much for coming out. And hopefully in the future you can come on my show and discuss more good or bad movies.
For sure. It's always a pleasure to be on your show, Jeff. I thank you so much for inviting me again.
Yeah, no problem. All right. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. And that was Randy. Once again, thank you so much for coming on my show. She's always a blast to have on. Very, very good insights. And like we ended off with, it's very important to look at what's right in front of you. Enjoy it if you can. And, you know, live in the moment. It's very hard to do that. I find it very difficult as well. But it's good to practice it because that skill goes a long way. And so I hope everyone is going through some good times in your life. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of stressful and you're going to have to feel a lot of pressure in times. But like I said, you guys can all get through it. I hope everything goes well for you guys. Next week is going to be another exciting show, so please stay tuned. I hope today's show was great. I hope you guys had a couple giggles. If not, I will try my best again to get those laughs out of you guys, because laughing is very, very healthy, right? I hope everyone has a good day, you know, and if you haven't watched the movie, go ahead and watch the movie. It's a great movie. You know, doing something that you love will always help you do something that you're stressful about. And so creating that balance, once again, is very important. Today is not a great day, so maybe staying up, you know, staying at home, sipping on some hot choco would be more healing than to go outside for a run. But again, if you like running, go ahead and run. All right, that's enough for me. My name is Jeff. I hope everyone has a fantastic rest of the day, and I will see you all next week. Bye-bye, everyone.